If you keep your eyes open on the high street at the moment, you'll find several shops springing up selling electronic cigarettes. It reminds me of the early days of mobile phones, when individual traders opened up phone shops before everything consolidated into the big names we know today. They've even brought a new word into the English language. We no longer have tobacco shops, we have vape shops. So on your behalf, I interviewed Paul Gifford, who owns several retail outlets selling e-cigarettes, and I asked him to tell us what the business was all about.
The primary driver of the e-cigarette industry came from community, how to vaporise their nicotine solutions rather than smoking. The big driver came from China, being the manufacturer of the actual products.
Is there any made in the UK at all?
Yes, there are.
Where?
Aldershot and Manchester.
Breaking it down for the listeners, what is in an electronic cigarette?
There are three primary ingredients. There are two glycerols, vegetable glycerol and propylene glycerol, nicotine. And then there are a few flavourings which are all approved for human consumption.
So where do you source the raw materials from? What's the quality control on those?
They're all sourced from pharma-grade suppliers within Europe. All of the products I sell are all manufactured within Europe, primarily in the UK. And it's all pharmacy-grade.
How can you get your customers to distinguish between one cigarette and the other? Can a customer choose a different flavour? I know the nicotine's the hit.
We stock approximately 120 flavours, and that varies sort of almost weekly, up and down, depending on what's popular and what isn't. And we have everything out there to taste. So prior to purchase, every customer can actually try a flavour, and whether it's a tobacco flavour or one of the more exotic fruity flavours, current favourite is summer pudding.
Summer pudding tobacco, mind boggles.
No tobacco in it.
There's nothing, it's just a flavouring.
Summer pudding and nicotine.
Do you see more people actually buying e-cigarettes for the image it gives them without the nicotine in it, or is it still primarily a nicotine substitute?
It's primarily nicotine users. It's ex-smokers, want to be ex-smokers. Mm. The success and pickup rate of an e-cigarette is considerably better than any of the traditional NRT products, which don't emulate smoking.
Nicotine replacement products.
Yes.
Do you find people coming to your shops who are non-smokers who want to try them out because they've heard it's a cool thing to do?
Very, very few. We've had the odd person that has decided to take it out because they enjoy it.
Is there an ID restriction, an age restriction, for you allowed to sell them at all by law?
There isn't by law, although we have a self-imposed policy of 18.
Where do you think the industry is going to go? Because, I mean, the big boys must be looking at e-cigarettes and thinking, hang on a minute, we can see a billion-dollar industry disappearing here if we're not careful.
They are exerting their enormous power to bring restrictions to it that really are unfair. They want to keep their monopoly. There is a growing movement within Europe not to let them have the monopoly and to leave it open to, you know, individuals,
man.
To get the small man to bring his particular take on the market.
I suppose they would argue, from a position of lobbying, because it's got, in inverted commas, chemicals and nicotine in it, it needs to have a regulatory process?
It does need some regulatory process, but not stifling.
So what are they trying to do?
Well, they're trying to medicalise it. A lot of the pharmaceuticals and the tobacco would like to see it medicalised. We see it as a pleasure. I'm an ex-smoker, and I've always seen smoking as a pleasure. I never disliked smoking, just it was killing me. There were no two ways about that.
When you say medicalise it, you mean they want to have legislation which says this is a product which is only to be used for medicinal purposes.
Essentially, it didn't be sold through pharmacies, but it allowed them to package it in neat little expensive pack that we have to pay for.
Can you see the power of the big tobacco companies is going to make your industry completely different in, say, 3 or 4 years' time?
They're trying to, but they're finding it difficult. You know, it's a lot of private individuals getting together and lobbying Europe.
Would it be true to say there's a subset of people, almost like the old smoking clubs that used to be, they get together and they try different flavours and things like this?
Very much so. Different flavours, different methods. We build a lot of our own internals, the actual atomizers and the heater units, to enhance the experience.
How can you differentiate between a different atomizer?
There are different builds and different wires and heats. Because you can vary the heat, you can actually vary the quality of the aerosol you get in the vapour and the nicotine absorption rate. You can improve it to become more like smoking.
And is it done by the finger in the air experimentation, or is it done?
A lot of it is done by finger in the air experimentation, but that is how it has been driven.
Do you manufacture your own here, or do you buy in product from China?
No, we buy in hardware, majority of it comes from China, but all of our liquids are primarily manufactured in the UK.
So you've got two components. So you've got your hardware, the thing you stick in your mouth, which has got a heating element in it, and then you've got the liquids.
Yes.
And they're two different sources. And is there different strengths in the nicotine?
Yes, from 0 through to 24.
And what's the equivalent of a normal tobacco?
Oh, about 48 milligram. The general trend in the market is actually reducing nicotine consumption. My nicotine consumption since becoming an ex-smoker has dropped drastically using e-cigarettes because I found a happy level. Whereas when you smoke cigarettes, the way they function, and you generally finish it in one sitting, you actually take an awful lot of nicotine that way. And then you don't have any maybe for an hour. Whereas with an e-cigarette, you tend to be a little bit more drip-fed and a little bit less.
But your business really is in selling the cigarettes rather than getting people to use them to come off nicotine, because if everyone comes off nicotine, there is no business.
I've got a surprising, ever-growing community of zero-nic people. We now carry a 14-flavour range in zero-nicotine because of demand. We do get customers that come in as heavy smokers and then work their way down the nicotine levels by choice with our help, and they get to zero and then they make a choice. And some of them choose not to, some of them do. I've had several customers actually pack in completely for 6 months and then, for whatever reason, feel they need to want to go back to it and have come back and rejoined, but they've not gone back towards the cigarette.
I suppose if, let me say if, the lobbyists succeeded and they got medicalised the nicotine, you'd still have an individual business on selling flavours. You know, that's a completely different issue.
Yeah.
It's like selling chewing gum or something else, something else which people want. One can build up that side of it. It protects you a little bit from this legislation side of things.
The e-cigarette industry is growing that fast. It is actually going to be a fairly significant revenue generator for the government, which will help substitute their loss in sales on cigarettes.
But they tax tobacco at a lot higher rate than they do e-cigarettes.
They do, but then if you look at the rates of bootleg tobacco in the UK, they reckon something like one in five packs has been illegally imported. So they're losing all the revenue on that, and that number is rising because of the rising costs. People are finding ways around the problem if they want to continue smoking.
There's two or three shops on the high street selling e-cigarettes at the moment. How does one shop distinguish between another shop?
Customer service and choice, a sheer range of products available. What brought me into the industry was taking up vaping as a substitute for tobacco initially, and then as a complete substitute tobacco shortly after I started. But when ordering on the internet, rubbish kept turning up. You know, it looked shiny on the page. When it arrived, it wasn't quite as described or didn't work quite as described. Whereas here, the customer come in, try the product, determine whether it's right for them. So they make one choice, not many choices. And that's what people like. They like to be taught and educated.
Now, what about the other forms of smoking, cigars and pipes?
We do electronic pipes, which are effectively an e-cigarette in the format of a pipe. We do have a broad range of what you call traditional tobacco flavours. Everything from liquids that are steeped in Havana leaf that taste amazingly like a cigar would. We have more and more NHS staff coming in now and actually procuring for their patients. They actively try and get them off cigarettes and onto e-cigarettes.
Unless somebody's actually walking down the high street and sees a shop, you wouldn't know in many cities that there is an e-cigarette shop around.
You wouldn't.
It's not advertising the local paper or something like that.
We, in fairness, we do local advertising in local press, and we get a fair bit of press coverage because it is hot news at the moment, so we're making use of that locally.
As the demand grows, surely you won't need the shops. You'll be putting them into garages and everywhere the traditional tobacco is sold.
There will, but the way the market's developing that front, the majority of the garages and the corner shops and the small retailers that are trying to latch onto the market are selling very low-quality products. The liquids are manufactured in China. They're very crudely done. We get a lot of people in that have purchased cheap setups from garages and not happy with them. We help them, we sort them. Most of it's sourcing them a flavour that they can cope with.
So what would be the price in a garage for the cheaper ones and the price that you would pay over the counter for the ones that you reckon have got more quality in?
Very little difference. It's just there's a profit margin to be made for the garages because you've got more people in the chain. We deal direct with the manufacturers and we can put more quality in.
Now, these people that manufacture these juices, are they chemical companies or
No. A lot of them are owned and run by individuals that have started vaping and started making liquids for themselves and then grown. I mean,
if it's a non-nicotine-based product and it's just a flavour inhaler, are there any substances in it which are harmful?
As far as we're aware, no. Every one of the substances in there is currently being consumed by human beings. Toothpaste holds vegetable glycerin. Hospitals put propylene glycerol, vaporized propylene glycerol, through their air conditioning systems to keep legionnaires at bay. It happens to be a natural sterilant.
At the moment, if a person wants to buy a cigarette, he goes to a machine in a pub or whatever. Does the person who smokes e-cigarettes have to take out a bottle of liquid each night, or does he fill up before he goes out and that lasts?
It's all about preparation. You fill up before you go out.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, a fill on that will last me 3/4 of a day. So it's the equivalent of, I mean, I was a 40-plus-a-day smoker, so that to me is equivalent of a good packet of cigarettes.
So if you've got an e-cigarette, which is a piece of metal plus an atomizer plus a battery plus the other bits and pieces that actually make up the hardware, you can put any juice in you want to, can you?
Yep.
Do people repair them? They're not that expensive. You just throw away and buy another one, don't you?
The lower end, the more basic stuff is treated as a consumable, but then you can be paying anything up to £250 for one. But at that money, you're buying something that'll last your lifetime. You're buying something that's, you know, beautifully engineered and solid, and every part on it is replaceable. And the very basic kit is more than adequate to certainly get a smoker off smoking and give them an idea of what it's all about. To get initially set up, you set up for your first week for about £28. And then from there on in, you've then got your juice consumption and your atomizers as a consumable item. They're plug and play. You buy them as individual units and they last 10 days.
How much would one be spending on cigarettes?
Currently, if you're a pack a day, you're talking about £8+ a day, whereas this is more like £2 a day. Yeah. It's a huge difference. Obviously, you have the investment in equipment to consider as to what level you go to. But once you're set up, the general running costs are very, very competitive.
Mm. Where do you see the industry in 4 or 5 years' time?
I see it maybe on much the same format as it is currently. I think there'll be a little bit more legislation. There needs to be a little bit more legislation.
It's almost like a cottage industry, really, isn't it?
It is. And I think what has happened is that, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when it was just emerging, the governments have thought, let them get on with their funny little e-cigarettes. And then suddenly it's turned and hit the point where there's 2.5-3 million people in the UK consuming electronics instead of tobacco, which is a good thing. I mean,
your market really is everybody who smokes cigarettes.
And
you got there, they're more than, they're more than open.
Every smoker out there would like to not be killing themselves. We're all aware of the health issues with cigarettes. That doesn't need any more publicity. The authorities should be aware that it's part of the solution, not part of the problem. When a lot of things are talking about, you know, children getting into it. Well, the children that are getting into it probably already acquired tobacco, probably already acquired a taste for tobacco. They're not going into it fresh because it's cool and fun. I do have a number of parents that come and purchase for me on behalf of their children because they would rather see them vaping. You know, they've already established that their child is a smoker. When a parent comes and asks for advice, that's the advice you give them. You give them very low nicotine and offer them the option of weaning off, and with a bit of luck, they'll get bored of it.
Paul Gifford there, speaking to Terry Meekin for Community Radio on the e-cigarette industry. Community Radio. Quality without compromise.
My true love was true. Oh, I falsely blind. Something here inside cannot be denied. Oh, said someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, when your heart's on fire, you must realize smoke gets in your eyes. I chaffed them and I gaily laughed to think they could die.